All right, you're back in the DFSR. It's an NFL podcast. It's Thursday. It's December 3rd. I'm Doug Norrie, and over there is
James Davis.
And we are coming at you with a cash game podcast here for week 13 as the NFL, a weird and wacky NFL season, mixes in with a weird and wacky world. And we continue to try to just navigate the complexities of how when games are going to be played. This week we have two teams on byes. That's Tampa Bay and Carolina because the scheduling get messed up. We have two Monday games this week and then have a Tuesday game because of the way Pittsburgh and Baltimore ended up shaking out. So, not that it's going to matter too much because we're going to talk about the main slate here for Cash Game Podcast. But I don't know, we had an interesting little Wednesday yesterday where we get daytime Wednesday football for the first time ever. Didn't mind it, by the way. You know, kind of sitting around doing some other stuff on a Wednesday, writing up cash picks, got a game in the background. But we were kind of, this is the only time we're going to probably get a Wednesday day game. Was that the biggest betting sweat we've had in a while in terms of the Pittsburgh money line and the Pittsburgh points, which I absolutely cannot believe they didn't cover -5, like whatever. But yeah, I mean, you want to walk through the day real quick and then we can just kind of move into cash games.
Sure. So, all right. So how much context do we want
to need to give all the context behind
all the context. Money. Okay. So anyway, I don't normally bet as much as I bet on the Steelers money line for this game simply because, well, for one major reason, which was that I was able to get the bet basically right as it was revealed that the Ravens would be without like 20 guys for the game, right? So I hammered the money line probably 10 times more higher or something like that than my normal unit, just because I was totally sure that it would go up, and it did. It wound up, being up around, was it -5 something, -550 or something by the time kickoff happened. I felt great about it. I was a little nervous when it got pushed from Tuesday to Wednesday because I didn't know how many more Ravens that would free up for the game. But yeah, felt great about it. And then we also, one of our picks last week prior to Thanksgiving was Steelers -5.
And that was when all things were just equal in terms of health. We liked that bet just if Baltimore was full strength.
Exactly. So we missed it on Thursday, but then we're like, okay, that's just absolutely locked up money at this point, right? The line jumps to 10.5 towards the Steelers. And it's, what did you say? You said it was like an odds boost bet, right? Like that the casinos would give you sometimes.
Yeah, it's like the Saquon Barkley, over 1.5 yards or whatever that FanDuel gave, or over 7.5 yards that FanDuel gave earlier in the season. And he like finished with 6, and people just like what just happened here? Like it's like that. It's not it's a bet that's not supposed to lose.
Yeah, so you get it, and then we get in, and sometimes you get this feeling, like when you've made a big bet. I've had this, there was a little spell where I was getting into counting cards at blackjack, and I was like, could do it, I could do it profitably. I'd just wait for the right rules and figure it out. But then, when I really took a big stab on it, the gambling gods like, nah, you're just not going to be like a professional blackjack player. That's just not the path right now. Right. So, they just deal it to you. That's how it felt early on in that Steelers game. First, we get the touchdown, and then Boswell misses the extra point, and I was like, this already feels good. But then RG3 looks absolutely abysmal. Just can't do anything.
Right.
And then, of course, my boy Ray McLeod drops the punt. Baltimore gets the ball on the 5-yard line, promptly punches it in. This is right after they had given a running play to Justice Hill, who no one's ever heard of, like 3rd and 23 prior to that. So they're like, all right, Baltimore losing on purpose. They just don't want anyone else to get hurt. And then it becomes the comedy of errors that we all watch from there. But then we have it 19-7, and I text you something like, I'm going to shuffle off this mortal coil if Tracy McSorley leads them back for 2 scores, and I lose this absurdly big money line bet. And then, the rest is history. McSorley goes out there.
And he throws a touchdown pass, and it gets like, and then the Pittsburgh's like passing. We're doing the whole game here, but it ended up being one of the more interesting, just in terms of us, like just general, just betting sweats that I've had in a really long time. And again, cannot believe they didn't cover pushed the -5.
That's the brilliant part about it. McSorley throws the touchdown pass to Brown, making it exactly 19-14. So we don't lose. So that was better than losing, I guess. But man, it was still but it was a roller coaster of emotions because I won the big money line bet, but then I felt kind of entitled to it at some point, like watching how bad that Ravens offense was. I was like, no, I should win this. So I was like kind of mad that it was even close. But then I was like, oh, we're also going to stack this -5 because it really looks abysmal. And then they get the ridiculous touchdown. So anyway, roller coaster of emotions. But the good guys did finish ahead on the day. And that's how gambling is going to go sometimes. So,
all right, let's roll through some Week 13 cash game picks here. I'll go position by position. We'll be back again tomorrow on Friday to do a game-by-game breakdown where we talk about every game in the main slate and throw some bets out there as well. Betting article and cash game article are up on DFSR.com right now. Let's start with quarterback. This is just the theme for the season is that he's just the position you have to pay for. I've been on the wrong side of the chalk a couple times this year, been on the right side of the non-chalk a couple times, last week with Kyler and Josh Allen. So, no matter what, we've been in a situation where we just feel, and this is how it's mostly rolled, is that this is just a position you have to pay for. There's a group at the top, and you get enough savings elsewhere. I started with Russ. He plays the Giants. The matchup is great. He's I think he's second to Mahomes right now overall in fantasy scoring. He's third in terms of quarterbacks. It's Mahomes, and this is DraftKings points. Mahomes, then Kyler, then Russ. So there's really, like, statistically, it's not, you don't have to go and make a great case here for Wilson. He's just great. The Giants are, not all that great against the pass. My only concern here would be, I think, that the game script gets away from him, right? Like, that they're big favorites. Mm. And that they just lean on the ground. Now they have Carson back, Hyde, they gave the ball to a lot. How concerned would you be with that piece of it? I don't think statistically we need to just sit here and go through all the stats. He's great, right? But are we concerned at all that this game kind of gets downhill for the Seahawks and that's just kind of the end of it for Russ? Or we just kind of we get, sniped off points because they just don't need to keep their foot on the gas.
I'm not that worried about it, to be honest. I mean, we saw a reasonable analog to this last week against Philly. Seahawks get up. They had Carson there. Carson touched the ball 10 times. The other guys in the backfield for Seattle have been pretty uninspiring as well. I don't think the Seahawks are, or Wilson in particular, is as big a risk for this as quarterbacks with really good running games. And Wilson is just such an effective short yardage passer, too, he protects the ball really well. I think there are a number of factors that point to him being just a totally fine play. I'm definitely not overly worried about this. I think when it comes to game script concerns, it's really important to look at guys just on a per team basis and how teams have handled similar situations in the past. And we just haven't seen Wilson get game scripted out of games yet. So I'm going to assume that here in week 13, that's not going to happen this week either.
Okay. So, it's funny because with the three cash game guys that I wrote up, I see like sort of an issue with all three. And I think that it's going to be the decision between these three guys. And so I'll go through like what I see as maybe the problems for each. So Wilson, I said, I'm a little worried about game script. They're minus 10 home favorites right now. Not the line isn't all that great. And one of the reasons they're big favorites is that it looks like the Giants the Giants aren't that good anyway, but they're also going to be without Daniel Jones because Colt McCoy is going to play. So this is where they get into a situation where it might be hard for the Giants to kind of keep any kind of pace here. The second guy I wrote up is Justin Herbert, who continues to just throw the ball an absolute ton this season. It's 40 passing attempts like every game. He also gets out and runs. He's been really one of the true surprises in terms of just how good he's been from a fantasy perspective, even if the team simply can't get out of its own way. I could have done an entire podcast about the end of the Chargers game last week, which just had me, I had me just completely beyond it. Anyway, I'm not going to go through it.
Just week after week after week with this Chargers team.
Never mind.
It's a good thing they have no fans, because if this was like the Steelers that this was happening to, you'd be seeing heads on spikes.
It's an absolute disaster. It was true. Yeah. Anyway, it doesn't matter. So, this season, Herbert is QB7. Yeah, 7 or 8. Yeah, he's 8, but he's also a game behind a lot of these other guys because he didn't play the first game of the season. So, give him one more game and he probably rounds out into the top 5. My concern here is that the total's okay, 47, but it's against this Patriots team, which we saw last week when we played Kyler, is that they're so slow. And there were some other extenuating circumstances with just like how the Cardinals, kind of ended up playing. But they play so slow with Cam in the running game, 58.7 opponent plays per game, which is so much fewer than most other teams. Are we concerned at all about getting Herbert paced out of this? Because look, he gets another weapon back. They threw to Eckler a ton. We're going to talk about him. He has the weapons. It's all there. And I'm just worried that we see what happened again last week where New England just controls the clock to the point where you just get so many fewer possessions.
I am concerned about it. I think that going with like basically implied total makes perfect sense. The Patriots can be pretty bad on a per play basis, but if they allow fewer plays, that can be tough to sort of calculate how that will affect us for DFS reasons. I'd probably rather not play Herbert, all things considered. I mean, I think he'll be good on a per play basis once again, but But yeah, I don't know. Something about it leaves me a little bit lukewarm. I will say it's really reassuring how he used Eckler last week. Eckler is a prolific pass catching back already. The fact that he got 16 targets in the passing game, once again, leads me to believe that Herbert will be a part of the game no matter what's going on. But this game is also getting bet pretty hard in the Patriots' direction too. That line, Chargers opened at -1.5. It's now -1 for the Pats.
Yeah, that completely flipped. Yeah,
that's actually a pretty big swing.
Yeah, I like the Chargers side of that bet, by the way. But the it is hard to account for the coaching. Okay, so we have concerns there. So then the third guy is Taysom Hill, who we only have to go back 2 weeks to see this exact same matchup that Hill had, because they played the Falcons 2 weeks ago and then play him now. And that was Hill's first game, 233 through the air, had another 49 on the ground with 2 touchdowns. And he followed it up with 2 touchdowns against Denver. The passing yards weren't there, but the game was completely out of hand. And they just really really took very few risks in the Denver game, because they just didn't need to, right? Like, it was like, let's just run. They kept the ball even out of Kamara's hands a lot. But I don't know, like, with Hill, you get a price down. By the way, this game's total is pretty low, too. This game has only a 45.5 total, with New Orleans a slight 2.5-point favorites. Mostly the totals this week are really pretty low across the board. It's only a couple games even over 50 on the over-unders. But what do you think about Hill? We get some savings here. Feels like we get a lot of safety on the ground.
Yeah,
I think, and I'm going to kind of wash away the Denver passing piece where he wasn't that efficient. This game will be in a dome in Atlanta. Do you think we just go down the Hill, take some savings, and just see what we get at the other positions? Because knowing that we have some other concerns, or is just Wilson just better than the rest of the group, and that's the way we go?
That's a good question. Hill, I mean, it's not great that we saw him get game scripted out last week, but it was such a beating that it's not especially surprising. The fact that he's giving you 10 carries a game on the ground, that's half of a good running back, right? And he's effective on those carries. He gets the goal line carries. So it's kind of hard to quantify. He's a very unusual player in that regard. Like, he's not breaking these big long runs, but the volume is still there. And he was pretty efficient when he faced this Atlanta team in his first game. Now, people could argue that's because Atlanta had no real way to game plan for this, right? Like, people weren't sure. They probably thought Jameis Winston was going to start on Monday or Tuesday of that week. So, it's possible that they kind of caught Atlanta with their pants down, and Hill was a more effective passer than they anticipated he would be. I think Hill is pretty reasonable here. I can't say I'm over the moon about the first two plays that we discussed. Thinking more about Wilson, I'd said he doesn't get game scripted out, but Seattle just has been passing the ball less in general in the last 3 weeks. I think it's something like 55 to 60% of their plays have been passes in those weeks, in spite of 2 weeks where they probably should have been passing more. So maybe I kind of overstated that, but and when quarterback starts to feel not so great, I don't mind paying less for it. Yeah, this is a weird week. This is a week where I feel a lot less. Like, last week I was like, man, you could play Murray or Josh Allen. And I feel like it's been each week we've had this, like, really good, obvious premier play. And none of these really jumps off the page for me that way.
Yeah, I have some other guys I want to talk about tomorrow when we go game by game. So I don't think we need to do that right now. But I think there are maybe a few other options, just because we've already pointed out a couple problems with the guys here.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
All right, let's go through the running back situation. We have probably some injury news that we're going to need to wait on, even though it's Thursday, but, have a few more days to kind of, piece through whatever the injury situation. Where do you want to start here with running back?
Yeah, I think it has to start with Austin Eckler. He's $7,000 on FanDuel, $7,100 on DraftKings. which is, you know, about 1,000 less than he was when he was the primary ball handler for LA. Almost said San Diego. That's not where they live anymore. And then he had basically like a Christian McCaffrey type usage last week, right? He had 30 opportunities. So that's carries plus targets. 16 of those were targets against the Bills. I mean, that's like absolutely out of this world. Got this great matchup with the Patriots. He is a tremendous safety blanket for Herbert. Still a young quarterback, you know. I think Eckler is just almost a must play. The other big thing about this week is that there really is a dearth of cheap running backs that are available to us right now. You know, we'll mention a few guys in a second who could become available for us as the week goes along, but all of like the plays that look decent are pretty expensive. And I think Eckler at 7,000 really just opens up a lot of business elsewhere for you.
Yeah, I think he's going to be the chalk. He played, you know, coming back from the IR, it was a little unclear what his just snap count was going to be. That was those concerns were laid to rest. He played 60 of the 83 offensive plays, you know, with Kelly and Pope kind of slotting in there a little bit. Kelly got a few, you know, attempts on the ground and was decent. But yeah, look, 30 touches, you're not going to beat this. So I think Eckler is, even with the pacing issues that we mentioned with New England, there's just very few worlds where he destroys you. Famous last words, but
he's just too cheap. That's the bottom line. You know, you could have more concerns if he was 8,500, which is arguably around where his price should be. It's not, so you just play him and then you know you deal with it if you have him at 85% ownership or whatever, and it doesn't come in. But moving on, things I think do get quite a bit dicier. Another guy that us and probably everyone will look at again this week is Dalvin Cook. So Cook was over 50% owned on FanDuel last week. He had his worst fantasy performance of the season by far. He also is banged up right now, so it's not like totally clear that he'll even wind up playing this weekend. If he does get the full green light, I think you'll see big time ownership on him once again. I mean, listen, they're 10-point favorites, the Vikings are. They are the team among all teams in the league that is, say, we're just going to shut the passing game down if we get up, right?
Yeah.
Happy to give the ball to Cook 30 times a game this year in game scripts like that. The Jags are just a terrible defense. I think they're second only ahead of New England in terms of the worst defenses in the league per DVOA. So, yeah, I think Cook will be, like, if people are like, oh, Cook now looks great in practice by Friday, he'll be another of the highest owned running backs on the slate. We also get a $500 discount on him coming into this week, in spite of having a better matchup in prospective game script. So, yeah, he's just a good play all around.
Yeah, I think you'll see some questions around, at least on FanDuel, between him and Derrick Henry, who's 500 less. But we can talk about that on the Game to Game podcast because, you know, Henry continues to see major usage too. Those guys just sit in a class by themselves in terms of how many times the teams are willing to give them the ball when things are going well. Henry just might play till he's 80.
I'll take the under.
I'll take the under, I guess, but begrudgingly. So it's not.
Well, the thing
be
where people are like, Henry gets stronger as the season goes along, and that's like the type of thing people say when they really haven't looked into things at all. But then when you see him going out and like tough matchups the last 2 weeks, compiling 300 plus yards and 4 touchdowns, you're like, I don't know.
This is what I mean. Like every once in a while, every once in a while you just get the guy who like just defies every reasonable expectation around what it's going to be. He has, just real quick, he has like 40 more carries than the next closest guy, which is Cook on the season. That's, you know, that's two good games on the ground, but more than the next closest guy. He's 50 more than Josh Jacobs. So it's just like an absolute unbelievable usage. Let me just throw out a couple more guys here that I want to get your thoughts on. The guys that are showing up in our system. We have Jonathan Taylor coming back from the COVID IR after a week where he had touched the ball a ton. David Montgomery, they're actually favorites against the Lions. Any of these guys kind of jump out to you, or did I miss somebody?
No, not really. I don't really want to play any of the guys you mentioned. I guess David Montgomery, I mean, he has seen better usage, but it seems kind of volatile to me. It kind of comes and goes. And, you know, last game against Green Bay, he was super effective. He had 103 yards on 11 carries. He had 6 targets as well, including a receiving touchdown. Like, that's really good. But, you know, getting 17 touches can really be pretty awful as well, especially given that they don't have a passing game to balance it. I mean, we saw what happened against Tennessee, where he had 17 touches and turned it into 4 fantasy points, right? So it can certainly go pear-shaped there. Not that it's necessarily likely to against the Lions, but, you know, he touched the ball 16 times against them in their first game, and he turned it into 74 yards and nothing else, right? So, I don't know. It doesn't feel great. I could see doing it. I mean, he's in the class with these guys like you know, Kenyon Drake is probably a similar guy to him, where it's like you're going to get maybe high teens touches. That's kind of what you're looking for. Could turn into yards, maybe sneaks in a touchdown. Nothing exciting. The big thing we're keeping an eye on is Josh Jacobs' status. The last word on him was that he has a quote-unquote chance to play, which sounds like it's less likely that he'll play than not. In which case, Devontae Booker, I think, would be a terrific play. Booker, he's in that same price tier as Montgomery. Vegas has obviously been quite good at running the ball this season with Jacobs. We've seen Booker be effective on a per-touch basis from time to time this season. He's just 6,000. And more importantly, they've got the Jets, so the game script should be firmly in his favor. I think he would be a guy I'd be excited about playing in that price tier should Jacobs miss this one.
Yeah, Jets a bad defense. Much better against the run, I should say. They're dead last against the pass and eighth against the run on the season. So take that for what it's worth. Could be some of that. Could just be overall game script where they're just loading up because the other teams just are running the ball because they stink near the end of the game. So it's sometimes these numbers get a little bit weird. But overall, it's undeniable that they're much better at least against that piece of the offense than they are against the pass. And you've mentioned we're just going to keep an eye on the Jacobs piece going forward. And so I think we're going to be kind of stuck in with at least a couple of these guys, not stuck in the mid tier in terms of price with running backs, because I think we can lock Eckler in and then we'll just kind of figure out what's going to happen along the margins. Let's talk wide receiver. The big news this week, I think if people are going to see it this way, is that Will Fuller was suspended 6 games for PED violations, and he was the second most targeted guy on Houston this season with the most yards and the most touchdowns. The matchup is not great here against Indianapolis, but it's hard to imagine a guy like Cooks, who we've run out pretty consistently here in cash this season, isn't just... It's hard to imagine the opportunity at least falls off for him, right? The opportunity has already been
totally agree. Decent. And then also, like, these are famous last ones for us sometimes,
yeah,
but we were already excited about playing Cooks in some weeks, right? So I'm with you. He runs different routes than Fuller. Like, this is the risk sometimes, right? Where you're like, the number one guy went down, so we'll give it to the number two guy. It doesn't always work out that way simply because, they're running different routes, right? So it's not like the balls that they were going to throw to Fuller, they're not just going to throw in a some route to Cooks that's, a much shorter passing play. So it won't be one-to-one, but it still seems like even if you add 2 targets to Cooks' total, he'd be an automatic play. So we love Cooks, but it's not like, don't pencil him in for 16 targets this week.
And I do think Kiki Kute should be the next guy up. Mm-hmm. They have Isaiah Coulter too, but Kute at least was the third in snaps. Because the other thing that happened here, and this is probably an oops on Houston's part, although who cares? Maybe they might not care, is that they actually released Kenny Stills 2 weeks ago to allow him to maybe clear waivers and go to a contending team. And Randall Cobb is hurt. So they're really, really banged up or just missing guys in the wide receiver core. We'll see how it ends up working out. Maybe it ends up going more to the running back situation here. Like I said, the matchup isn't great. Would you be comfortable with a guy like Kute? Mostly on DraftKings, where he's like in the 3,500 range. I don't think I really want to do it on FanDuel, but 3,500 for a guy who, should see more attempts. He was hurt to start the season. If you saw him pop up in cash games, would you hold your nose at it?
No. I think we've seen plenty, like even if it's not fully this season, we've seen track records of Watson and Kute being compatible in the past. And if you look at the game logs, you're not excited when you see what Kuti's been up to, but he's so, so cheap. And, if he gets something like 6 targets, I think that's a profitable play at that point.
All right. A guy I want your opinion on here, because he's showing up in all of our lineups right now, and I think I'm okay with it, is Michael Thomas. So Thomas, we dinged him a lot when Drew Brees went out, when we didn't really know what was going to be the plan of attack in terms of their passing game. But I think we've seen what the plan of attack is going to be with their passing game. That's just because he's going to get a majority of the targets still, right? Yeah. So if you look back against that Atlanta game that we mentioned a couple weeks ago, he had 12 targets in that game, turned it into 9 for 104, no touchdowns, but you like that usage. And then last week, only 6 targets, but they only passed the ball like 16 times. Right. So he had, more than 33% of the target share in a game where they didn't throw the ball at all. He ended up with...
like 65% of the receiving yards too. Like that was the only effective passing play that the Saints ran last week.
Exactly. He had more receiving yards, right, than everyone else combined. So what do you think? Is he feel safe enough in at least with good conditions? Do you have enough? Is 2 games here enough from Taysom Hill to say, because we're getting him at a deep discount probably for the target share just because he's been trash most of the season, but and he's been hurt and it's been a weird situation. But would you feel comfortable here with Thomas?
Absolutely. This feels like a odds boost bet to me, especially 7,200 on FanDuel. That's comical. One thing I noted about this situation coming out of the first Atlanta game was how little Kamara was used, right? And I think this is an important note here. For whatever reason, Kamara and Hill haven't been on the same page. Kamara, one target against Atlanta, two targets against Denver. So while Thomas's usage is tracking with what it was when Breeze was in there, Kamara's really isn't. And if some of those targets, that's a lot of targets coming off of Kamara, right? You're talking about between 6 to 13 targets a game, depending on the matchup. So, you know, reallocating those, obviously most of those are going to funnel into Thomas, who, you know, can actually do a lot of the same stuff that Kamara does. In terms of catching short routes and so on. So, yeah, I love Thomas this week. It's way, way, way too cheap. That's a joke of a price, and I'd be really surprised if he didn't have big-time ownership this week.
Yeah, in 7K on DraftKings, too, I think you're just fine with it, right? The number of targets he's seen over the last 2 weeks is just enough for me to say, okay, this is still very much the plan, even if the quarterback is different, and Hill has been... Look, he was, like I said, Hill was really efficient in his first game, at least in terms of converting passes. After these guys, I'll just throw out a couple more, just guys we can nod at here. Jarvis Landry coming off a big week in terms of targets. They are going to get a game where at least this has the highest total of the week at 54, this Tennessee-Cleveland game. I can see playing Landry in cash, especially if Cleveland is playing catch up. I'm just going to throw this out here right now. Cleveland stinks. This was the easiest bet I wrote up. Now, I got it early at like Tennessee minus 3.5. And this game, it instantly shot to 6 after the opening line went up, or 5.5, 6. Cleveland's been outscored in the season, like, by 21 points or something. They're the biggest smoke and mirrors team in football. Anyway, that's neither here nor there for this play, but more to say that I do think they're going to be playing from behind in this game, and I like Landry's chances at 6,000, especially on FanDuel. That feels like a fairly safe play, if not a lock. And then the only other guys to consider... It'll be interesting to see what people do with the Minnesota passing attack, because Justin Jefferson was a cash game lock for us last week, had a huge game. Jacksonville's terrible passing defense, but they're Minnesota's 10-point favorites, and they're getting Adam Thielen back from the COVID list. So I just don't know. We can talk about this on the Game to Game podcast tomorrow, but I do think people are going to want to talk themselves into some of this Minnesota passing attack, but I get a little worried that they're getting a guy back, and we had an extenuating circumstance last week.
Yeah, that's a tough one, man. Like that Justin Jefferson versus Thielen one, I don't want to be on the wrong side of Justin Jefferson chalk, to be sure, but let's keep in mind, like this has all the makings of a bubble price for him, right? Because, yeah, he's been good, certainly on a per-target basis throughout the season.
Yeah.
Last week you had the combination of him being $700 less on FanDuel and having no Thielen and everything kind of working out perfectly in terms of him getting two touchdowns, right? He still only has 70 receiving yards. So you have to be pretty damn good to be at 7,700, and he hasn't been that throughout the year. You know, that's just the facts in the case, right? So
because again, like Minnesota will be fine throwing the ball 22 times in a game. Like this is
absolutely
part of the problem.
If they're up 10 points in the first quarter, Jefferson's going to get 8 targets or something, or 7 even, and that's not enough at that price point. So yeah, that's a tricky spot. And still, I would be terrified. Like if I saw him at 60% ownership, I wouldn't fist pump, just because I just feel like it would be pretty high variance at that point.
All right, walk us through tight ends. I actually have a couple guys I don't mind week, which is weird. We played Kelce last week. Casey's once again not on the main slate. But walk us through tight ends.
Sure. So there are two $6,000 tight ends on FanDuel that I'm looking at. Both are pretty similar in my mind, in Hunter Henry and Evan Ingram. And I think the case for both is essentially this exact same. So I don't know too much how to get into it, but the case is that they're both just getting real life big boy targets, and no tight ends do. So that's why I like them, Doug. Their quarterback actually throws the ball to them occasionally. Both of them had 10 targets last week. You know, the kind of tail of the tape here is that with Henry, you just have a better offense and a better quarterback situation. And so I guess I would lean in that direction, even though the production hasn't like totally been there every single week. Like the fact that he's just going to get 4 catches, and yeah, Herbert's just a real NFL quarterback for sure, where like Daniel Jones maybe is, maybe isn't. The fact that Henry, the offense is better, so he'll score more touchdowns, right? He's got a touchdown in 2 of the last 3 games as well. I think I'd lean there. But Ingram, you know, in terms of just raw target share, has been like the last 4 weeks, not right there with Kelce, but just like a step behind. So actually four of the last 5 weeks, he's got 9+ targets. He had 129 receiving yards last week against the Bengals. Of course, we played him in the 3-target game against Philly. So I guess that's, you know, potentially part of the resume as well. But yeah, both of those guys strike me as very similar, and I would be happy with either in cash.
Yeah, the only thing I'm concerned with Ingram is just the quarterback change here with McCoy, and you know, maybe it just ends up not mattering because it's just kind of where we are with tight ends. I think there's a couple flyer guys we can probably look into, like Jordan Akins. That'd be nothing more than a flyer. That's just like, you know, opening up some targets, and he's coming off a 2-target week, so it's like not any great shakes here. But again, this is the nature of the position. You know, you have to wipe off some of these Philly guys because Zach Ertz is coming back. You can't trust the Green Bay situation. I'm just going through.
You don't want to pay up for Darren Waller, probably. I mean, he's a guy that's flirting around our system, but paying up a tight end is like, you know, that's a luxury. That's the fancy dinner you go out to when you get your bonus at the end of the year, not the place you go every Tuesday for date night. So
right, yeah.
I don't know that we can just drop 7,000 on a guy who, listen, like his resume the last 5 weeks is not better than Evan Ingram's, right? So you can't pay the extra 1,000. You make a good point about the quarterback play being even worse than usual for Ingram, and I certainly should have noted that, but yeah, add it all together, you're going to go, I think you're going to wind up going mid-range here. I don't see, and speculating on Akins, I think that's like a classic, that would be a classic tight end mistake. There's just no telling that Will Fuller's extra targets will go to Jordan Akins, right? So so that's a no for me. I don't think we can do that in cash.
Yeah, I was looking real quick if I could see just where McCoy's, where he targeted Ingram in the passing game. He had 2 targets to Ingram, as I can tell. He only had 10 total passes. So
yeah.
It's just
20%
it's not,
target share.
It's not going to be enough. It's just not going to be enough to like just completely figure this thing out. Okay, we're going to be back again tomorrow going through game by game. We'll hopefully have a few more injury pieces sorted out after Thursday's practice. I got my kid screaming in the background here, so she's excited for me to be on the podcast. Yeah, whatever. We'll just leave it in. All right, DFSR.com is the site. DailyFantasySportsRankings.com. DFSR.com/deals will get you started on our premium subscription service, and that's going to include NFL, but if you sign up now, you're going to get NBA, which is less than 3 weeks away as it is. So it's all covered under one subscription package, so go check that out. DFSR.com/deals. Buddy, talk to you again tomorrow when we roll through every game on the main slate.
Let's do it.